Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And maybe today we will add apples.
Apples. I know. It's that time.
It's apple time.
It's apple time.
So apple harvest typically just before grapes?
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of before, during, and even a little after the grape harvest. I think that's maybe people don't know, but apples don't have quite the time urgency that grapes do, right? So when grapes are ready at the right, you know, sugar levels, it's time to get them off the vine where the apples can sort of hold their own and the integrity of the apple for a little longer. So I know a lot of the farmers that have both, including, you know, Dutton Ranch, my husband's business, they kind of use to keep their employees busy. Yeah. They're able to kind of navigate apple harvest starting and then grapes and then back to apples. So I know they started apple harvest kind of mid-July, but this weekend is like the weekend. It's apple weekend, really, in Sonoma County. Should we just call it that?
Yeah.
So, and a huge shout out. So Farm Trails puts on an incredible event that's been going on for decades that really celebrates all things apples and agriculture in Sonoma County. It's called the Gravenstein Apple Fair. It's at Regal Park in Sebastopol. It's today, August 10th, and tomorrow, the 11th. Mm-hmm. You can just show up and get tickets at the door, at the gate, because there's really no door. It's out in a park. So, you know, at the table. At the table.
Open door.
Yeah. But you can not only, you know, try pies and fritters and fresh apples and everything you want, but we also have a ton of our wine partners there. And I might just give them all a little shout out because I want you all to be really excited to go at home because it's not too late. Listen to our show as you're driving to the Gravenstein
Apple Fair
today. Yep. So in the wine tent, we have Boletto and Croy and Dumal and Dutton Estate, Don Goldfield, Francis Ford Coppola, Furthermore, Iron Horse, Jackson Family, Kistler, Linmar. We have Marmar, Martin Ray, Mary Edwards, Ramey, Rodney Strong, Schramsberg, if you want some bubbles, Sonoma Contreras, St. Francis, Chaff Street, and Woodenhead. So that is like, if that's not enough to make you want to go. There's also a new artisan tasting alley where they can actually come and meet the producers at Dalinger, Dutton Estate, Manzanita Grove, Pax, and Raft Wines. And then they can get some back vintages and learn even more if they want to go in the VIP. And that's where you can get Dutton Goldfield. And what's that last one? Michelle, what do we got in that last one?
It says Keltum Roots.
Keltum Roots. There you go.
So those are lovely wines.
We definitely want to learn more about them.
Yeah, lovely.
So really, like, go.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, there's so much history, obviously, with apples here in Sonoma County. There's so much sort of nice complementary things about apples and grapes. Yeah. The Gold Ridge soil is sort of notoriously or famously perfect kind of for Gravensteins as well as Pinot.
Yeah, and we used to have several canneries here in Sonoma County, and apples, I think, were like the second largest crop for a while, which is sadly not true anymore. I think at this point we farm less than 2,000 acres of apples total in the county, and, you know, sadly, which we won't, you know, talk about too much because this is the Good Stuff show.
Yeah, we don't want to start crying.
Yeah, but sadly the last cannery is moving out of Sonoma County, out of Grayton, and moving their business up to Washington State. And really business reasons, but they were trucking a lot of their production from Washington State down to California. And so now it's kind of an opposite. So I do know for the next 5 years, they are keeping some of their contracts with our local apple growers. But you just never like to see production leave Sonoma County because, you know, agriculture is such the foundation of our community here that we want to support our farmers and the producers.
Yeah. So. Because it's so nice to see the apple trees and even apples on the ground, which they do harvest.
Yes. Yeah. No apple left behind, I think, is the policy. So the apples that do fall onto the ground are used for like apple cider vinegar.
Yep.
So they won't end up at the supermarket, obviously, in kind of your fresh produce. But they're used for apple sauces and cider vinegar. And I love Dutton Estate does an amazing actual apple cider that is like the most true drinks the truest to actual having an apple, and you have to be mindful that there's a little kick of alcohol in there because it's so delicious. It's easy to drink a lot. So I will leave it there, everyone.
And so go to the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Yeah,
I'm
sure Dutton Estate will have some of their cider at the Apple Fair. So definitely
lovely.
Stop by and try that.
And people, there's a huge following for cider. People love it.
Yeah. And I notice even when we invite you know, partners and collaborators into Sonoma County, it's really fun to show diversified agriculture. And we know so many of our farmers are not just farming wine grapes, they're farming blueberries and apples and running cattle and, you know, all sorts of crops. Farmers are farmers. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to support sort of the diversity and of our agriculture story here.
I agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will introduce our guest. We're back on The Good Stuff. Our guest today is Deborah Matthey from Dutcher Crossing Winery, proprietor of Dutcher Crossing Winery. And Deborah, we're going to want you to tell a lot about your story, but I just want to mention something quick from your bio because I think it's fascinating, which is you bought Dutcher Crossing in 2007, which was a lifelong desire to own a winery in Sonoma County. And at the time, it had 35 acres, made 5 wines. And since then, now you've got 75 acres of estate-designated vineyards. I imagine you're making more than 5 wines. So, welcome. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Dutcher Crossing. What brought you to Sonoma County outside of this dream?
Thank you for having me. I came because it felt like home. I looked all over the world and really loved Germany. And my, you know, dad was sick, so I decided I needed to be closer to my mom and, you know, looked at Washington, Oregon, our neighbor, Napa, and Sonoma was where you feel like home. Mm. And that's part of, you know, what makes you confident and comfortable. You know, if you're not comfortable where you are, even doing a job you love, you're going to struggle. And so I needed to feel a sense of peace and happiness where I was and put down the roots to give me opportunity to thrive. Sonoma and Dry Creek, it's a little similar to where I grew up in La Crosse. You know, I had a great Dutcher Crossing was not for sale. I don't know how many people know that. It was a new winery, less than 2 years old, and I came knocking a year into them being open and asked them for guidance. It was all over Sonoma and Napa asking for guidance and picking everybody's brain that would let me get a foot in the door. Do I build from the ground up? Do I buy a pre-existing? And I kept coming back to Dutcher Crossing. And here we are now. And
here we are.
And we have 4 different properties and have expanded because the opportunity has been there. But, you know, got my foot in the door and then held on and ran.
So, I mean, where did this love, I mean, you wake up one day and you're like, I want to own a winery. Where did this love of wine and maybe obsession with wine, where did this come from?
Especially
La Crosse, because that's, again, it's hotbed beer, of wine. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's beer country and brandy country, right?
And cheese.
And cheese.
Yeah, sorry.
Cheese heads, yeah. You know, freshman in high school, I heard the juniors and seniors went to France, and I want to go to France. My dad said, you must take 3 years of French. And I'm like, done. I'll do that. And I don't know where I thought wine came from other than the bougie liquor store on the holidays. And I went to France, and we were in the Southern Rhone region, and I saw my first vineyards. I saw my first winery, and I realized people do this for a living. And I went, I must do that. So came home and announced at 2 in the morning when I got back, and going in the wine industry. And my dad said, that's great. No, like, go get education, go get a job. We don't know anything about the wine industry. And kind of did that, but I kept looking at businesses in the wine industry. And when my dad got sick with stage 4 melanoma, he said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm still want to do this wine industry. And he had been supporting me and my mom and buying me cases of wine for holidays and investing in my collection. And so forth. So we set off on a journey together with my mom along, and he passed away 3 months before I bought the winery. So, you know, it's, was I bit by the wine bug by a glass of wine I had? No, I was built by my first aha moment in the wine industry, and that was physically seeing vineyards and physically seeing a winery. And you know, I was 15. I had never ever seen it. I never ever thought people could have a job making wine, and here I am.
Yeah, which I think is so interesting. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, too. I was born in South Dakota, and I, too, did not know early on that wine was a thing you could do and be a part of, that it wasn't just this beverage that showed up. And in my family, which was very Baptist, didn't show up on any tables. And so, I mean, I think it's that moment that you can actually, like you said, have a career and be a part of something that you didn't necessarily have in your history, which I think is, I was really excited to have you on the show, because we have the opportunity on our show to talk a lot with sort of the multi-generational folks that are part of Sonoma County, but equally as important to the DNA of Sonoma County are folks like you who just love Sonoma County and decided to come here and make it your home and be a part of the future of Sonoma County. And so I think it's always fun to hear those stories. So, and because I work with mostly the growers, it's nice that you got bit by a vineyard, not by not literally, but not a glass of wine, because that's really probably true to the heart of the every wine is the vineyard behind it.
It starts in the vineyard. It does. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also just shows the importance of travel. I mean, you were so young, but being able to go to a place as different as France and see vineyards, I mean, you just, you get exposed to a different culture, a different way of life, and certainly the farming thing, which, did your family have anything to do with agriculture?
We have zero.
Nothing.
Okay. We are road builders. We are in energies. We are in timbers. And, you know, everybody thinks I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up farming. I was not a farm girl. I was a city girl. I always thought, you know, I was going to live in a big city if I wasn't in the wine industry. And I live in Geyserville. I live where 1,500 people are. And I could not be more happy. It's such a lovely community, and everybody's supportive. And I'm living everybody's bucket list, and I'm grateful about that every single day.
Yeah. Do you remember, I mean, coming in and sort of knocking on doors and looking at this property, do you remember, I mean, did you try to drink a lot of the wines from the area to kind of get a sense of what people were doing here?
Oh, like for the 4 years, my dad and mom and I, we'd come out for 3-4 days at a time, and we'd hit 30 wineries. We'd be one of those.
You're professional.
People that would go and see as much as we could. And one of the pivotal moments for my dad was in the parking lot of Segacio Winery. Kathy Segacio stopped and talked to my dad while my mom went in, and it was the first time anybody had spoken to us that was ownership or winemakers, and it left a lasting impression on him. And when I got done tasting the Segacio wines, came out and he said, you need to learn what I learned from this lady, that you need to be authentic, you need to take the time, you know, and be with your clients and spend some, you know, authentic moments with them. And it made an impact, because my dad was handicapped and he couldn't move and had a hard time going in. She spent an hour talking in the parking lot with him, and I don't even think she remembers it, but it turned my dad to being a big wine industry, like, there's good people out here. It's like you get a little nervous about the booze industry. And that was a life moment, changing moment for my dad, being all in with me. So
okay, you kind of got me a little teary-eyed. I'm just gonna say that is a amazing story. Thank you for sharing that. And did he like the wine?
You know, the funny thing, he never tasted the Segacio wine. And the interesting fact is he never saw Dutcher Crossing. By the time I had went and asked the owners if they'd be willing to sell, he had passed away. And so he had heard about Dutcher Crossing, never saw it, but he's here with me in spirit.
I was going to say, it sounds like you had a little angel kind of helping make that deal happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's life moments, and I treasure every day I'm here. And, you know, I'm lucky and met a lot of nice people and surrounded myself with even better personnel than they're knowledgeable about the wine industry than I am. And here we go.
So tell us a little bit about, like, what was the existing kind of winery like? What was that? What did you walk into?
You know, I walked into... we all have been there. Like, it's got this iconic view of Dry Creek, and I walked in and went, wow, this is great, and nice hospitality, nice wines. There were six or seven wines when I bought the winery, and now we have 33 to 34 different wines.
Oh my God.
And
just a little bit of growth.
a little bit of growth. You know, I can tell you, my business manager, it's like enough SKUs. Like, it's hard with inventory. But, you know, they had built such a great foundation of really important. It was important to have good hospitality, beautiful grounds, and a good base of great wines. And it was important for me buying that Cary Damski stayed. We wanted him to stay with the winery. And I don't know if I would actually be at Dutch Crossing if he did not stay.
Mm-hmm. As your winemaker.
It was important for me to have him stay with us. And he agreed to.
Maybe talk a little bit about Cary and his winemaking and just...
You know, well, Cary, Cary speaks in third person all the time, so he's like, Damski thinks this and that, and he really does. He speaks in third person, and I don't think he realizes it, but I said, you know, can you stay on? He's like, Damski would like to stay on with the project. Damski, and I'm like, okay, I'm in for...
I think that's a yes.
I'm in for it. This is a different person I've never met before, but, like, I'm inspired. I want to run with this guy.
And, you're like, who is this Damski you speak of?
You know, he made well-balanced wine, you know, and it was refreshing. And he was... And I'm not going to knock... at any wine industry, but sometimes owners and winemakers, our egos can butt heads. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really care. He didn't care if he was front, if I was front, if the tasting room manager was front. I thought, great, like, you don't have an ego. I can work with you because all that matters is we succeed, not you succeed.
Absolutely.
And so I said, what do we need to do? He said, you know, I get to make the decisions. I said, well, I'm paying you to make the wine. I want to know what you want to do. And he made a lot of changes out in the vineyard. The long-term plan was to just be estate-driven. And he did not want to go that way, and I agreed with him. You know, I wanted to keep the maple vineyard fruit.
Oh, yeah, as you should.
You know, I wanted an opportunity to work with the Bacio Galupe family. There's a lot of opportunities of great diversity that Sonoma represents, and that was my goal. I did not need to be solely estate-driven. I wanted to represent the best of Sonoma that I could get my hands on, and he was in it to win it with me. So
I love that. And experienced in many different types of wines and varieties and regions and appellations.
Yeah. Experience. I'm still laughing. What would Damski do?
I know. I'm
And next time you talk to him, you're going to hear he does speak in third person. And every once in a while when we blend with him, he still comes and tastes and blends. And we're all going to third person. And he just doesn't even realize that.
That's amazing. That is so awesome.
So his son, Drew Damski, is also a winemaker. Yeah. Does he do that too?
Drew is his own individual. He does not speak in third person. But like Cary, when he gets excited, he goes into this third person. And you know, you have to love that enthusiasm. You know, when you're new in the industry, it inspires you. And it makes you want to get up and work side by side with him. And he's still one of my close friends, but he's still a big mentor to me.
Yeah.
And he probably always will be my mentor.
Well, it's so nice to have a partnership like that, too. Because like you say, I mean, you know, not finding a winemaker that will fulfill your vision and get along with and you feel comfortable with is a huge decision.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're happy about that.
I'm, yeah. I'm, that's What a great story.
Was that the ghost of Damsky, like, we're watching your microphone?
We're watching the microphone move in front of Deborah over here.
He can hear you.
And unclear what just happened. So sorry for the weird pause, but we're all just sort of staring at her microphone right now, seeing what's next.
What else is going to move?
Yeah.
can I share a Damsky story?
Of course.
So Carrie decided we're going to do a blended Sauvignon Blanc, and I decided I was going to have my own voice after the first vintage. I was going to really be honest, and I kept saying, no, it's close, but it's not right. And it took 3 days to blend this, the Sauvignon Blanc, and it came down to 0.5% of Sauvignon.
Wow.
Well, he was sitting back in our lab, and we all locked up, not knowing he was still in the lab. And I'm at my house, and long story short, the cops were called, and he wanted to know if he should offer wine to the cops. So we locked him in. The cops were called because he sounded the alarm, and he offered wine to the cops.
All right. Well, all's well that ends well. But we will take a quick break and come back with Deborah Matthews soon. We are back on The Good Stuff with our guest today, Deborah Matthey, proprietor of Dutcher Crossing Winery. And when we left, you were talking about your great partnership and, you know, all things Carrie Damsky, or as he refers to himself, Damsky. but there are also, there are other very important creatures that exist at your winery. Tell us about them.
Well, we've had two wonderful wine dogs and winery dogs. And our first one was Duchess, and she was a rescue from Taiwan. And I absolutely told the story of why we didn't have a wine dog, because I wanted a Labrador puppy. And if I got a Labrador puppy from a breeder, the Maples, Tina and Tom Maple at that time, would have taken away their grapes, the Maple Zin grapes, from me if I did not rescue a dog.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, I had a healthy fear of them, so I did not get my lab puppy.
I like that they held you a little bit hostage on that.
Yeah. Okay. And so I was telling the story to a wine club member, and he's like, you know, if I ever see a lab puppy as a rescue, I had friends in Taiwan that were a rescue group, I'll let you know. And so I got an email, and they found a lab puppy for me, and it flew over, and she flew over on Air China, and 8 wine club members drove her up from LA.
Stop it.
Oh,
I just got chills.
To Dutcher Crossing, and her, you know, Taiwanese name was Lucy, and we changed her to Duchess because, you know, she was the queen bee of the winery.
She was regal.
She was regal, and she was very laid back. I joked that she was very calm because either she was Buddhist from Taiwan or she drank. So it was one or the other. So she used to just kind of wander with me and wander the grounds and, you know, said hello, but was kind of a one-woman dog. And she passed a few years ago, and we got a new Labrador. And she was from a breeder. Tina's not mad at me.
You don't have to admit that on air.
And we wanted her to have a regal name like Duchess. So she's Lady, but when she's in trouble, we use her middle name, and that's Ladybug. And her main job is to go say hi and greet the customers. And she works the table harder than my staff. And she will go sit and do pictures with everybody, lay on the ground with the kids. She is all into her job, and it's fun to watch. And the staff brings their dogs, and she has play time and certain days certain dogs are there. And we're a very dog friendly winery, but her job is to hang out with the customers, and she's really, really good at it.
And so when she's on site, which it sounds like most of the time, how much do sales go up?
Sales are good. Like, if you want to close a wine club, you bring out the dog. She's going to work it for our staff and help them. But it gives an authentic feel. Like, you see me yelling at my dog and chasing my dog, and, you know, people will bring their dog. So, you know, it gives the feel that we want. It's the family feel
welcoming.
And welcoming. And You know, and we put her away. There's some people that don't care for dogs, and we're mindful of that. And she goes to, you know, the office, her jail, and she'll bark until they leave. And, but, you know, all the staff members will take turns bringing their dog. And so she's got a buddy and partner in crime when she's on.
Does she wear outfits?
She does. We don't dress her, but she changes her collars depending on the season and the holiday. She doesn't miss a beat. So,
oh my gosh!
Yeah, right now she's in watermelon. It's watermelon season, so she got watermelons on her collar. So,
how does she get paid?
She gets paid with lots of love and lots of treats.
Yeah, a few treats, I think. But there's a big treat jar there.
There's treat jars everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I do think it's very welcoming for people, especially when they can bring their own dogs and just.
And people always ask, can I bring my dog somewhere? Yeah. They're looking for an experience. I mean, they're in Sonoma County for the weekend or a visit, and it's nice to be able to have that.
Yeah, well-trained dogs we're great with. But, you know, they're mandated on leash. This, you know, Ladybug's property, and she's off leash. But, you know, everybody has to be on leash other than her, so.
She is Lady.
That's fair.
It's her spot. She's the princess of the property.
So talk about a little bit about just some of the hospitality experiences that you provide beyond Ladybug.
Well, we have an open bar tasting. You can walk right in. We're open to the public 7 days a week. And you can saddle up to the bar and do a flight, which is like four or five, depending on wines, depending on the day. We have seated tastings. We have seated tastings with charcuterie. We have seated tastings with chocolate and cheese pairing. We have tours. We do seasonal experiences, and our last one was out in the vineyards. We were up at two adjacent vineyards, so we got to see a Chardonnay and a Syrah vineyard in one day with our guests, and they absolutely love being in the dirt. Our vineyard they're used to. They want to have access to the special ones that they don't get to see. So it depends on the season. We'll do seasonal Midwest soups, like the wild rice, Minnesota wild rice, and we'll do some winter seasonal, you know, food and wine pairings. But, you know, the staff changes it up all the time, and we're going to get back to doing the bike in the mornings on Fridays with me. Through Dry Creek Valley, just to give everybody some feel if they want to come up. And it's a big biking community. So
let's talk about that, because you're really passionate about cycling. So where did that start? And
it was freedom. Come on. When we were
Fair enough.
Bikes were freedom.
Yeah.
And so anything that had two wheels, whether it be a scooter or a bike, we disappeared as kids. I was a child of the 70s and 80s, and that was freedom. And so I just kept collecting bicycles, and my dad was very, very into giving me a special gift before he died. And we each got special gifts, and he found the High Wheel bike, which is our logo. So he knew how passionate I was about cycling, and I did a lot of mountain biking while I lived in Colorado and so forth. So the gift that's our logo was from my dad, and it represents our journey into wine country together, but it also represents the artisan way of life. And that's what the wine industry is. Like, you can get all high tech, and a lot of people are, but still great wines made with that personal touch, and that's important to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can go tech on the resources to help you get the data and get better information. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a person in the vineyard. It's a person in the winemaking.
AI is not making my wine. If it does, I'm retiring.
What would Damsky say about that?
Damsky would be like, you'd be interested to taste what AI made.
Yeah. Curious.
He'd be curious.
I don't know. It's interesting going back to the cycling, because I sort of feel like your location could not have been better scripted for the cycling community. I mean, Dry Creek is such a popular place to ride. West Side, West Dry Creek, and then over into Geyserville and Alexander Valley. It's perfect.
Yeah. It is. It's. I'm living the dream. Like, I can get on my bike and go visit anywhere I need to go in the Three Four Valley. So, mm-hmm.
Do you have a sidecar for Ladybug?
Actually, I do. My brother bought me a bicycle that had a sidecar. It's an electric bike, and we go back and forth to my neighbor's. And
oh
she
my
has
gosh.
To go get babysat. So,
does she wear a helmet? Or a special, just a special collar.
We're working on trying to get the goggles, but she doesn't like that. So.
I love it.
Oh my god! Yeah. So
okay,
awesome.
So anybody driving around?
I actually wasn't expecting a yes on that answer.
Yes.
So, but yeah,
that was my Christmas present this year from my brothers. So,
oh my gosh!
I have to see that now.
Yeah. Are they still in the Midwest?
They are. My whole family's back in the Midwest,
yeah.
and they are big supporters and of the winery and actually all of Dry Creek and Russian River and in Alexander Valley. They come and collect wine, and they used to be brandy drinkers. Now they both have big wine cellars.
I love
and
it.
You know, we have big fundraisers for Boys and Girls Club, and they pour Sonoma wines, not just Dutcher Crossing wines. So
beautiful.
Yeah. That's amazing.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Deborah Matthey. We are back on The Good Stuff with Deborah Matthey, and still thinking about Ladybug in that sidecar. Beautiful visual.
I kind of want you to bike over to our office for a visit.
I mean, I'm just going to, it's going to bring a smile to my face for the rest of the day.
It's an electric bike. It probably doesn't have that big of a range.
Okay, so you might
we might have to come to her.
It's a little hot in the summer. So.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll just come visit.
Okay, that
sounds
good.
So maybe we should talk about some of the things, you know, some upcoming things that you're excited about, maybe some events that you might be hosting. Like, people can come and visit you, it sounds like, every day. So.
People can come visit us every day. We are at our main facility that's now going to be, we're changing it over this harvest, and it's going to be our experimental kind of barrel room crush pad where we're going to do some fine-tuning on the wines. And I didn't give my winemakers carte blanche, but Elsa and I have some eggs now in the barrel room and some conicals and foudres, and they want to work in different types of fermentation and going on different barrels and experiment with a lot of different things. And so apparently that's going to happen on the other side of my office wall in the barrel room. And they're very, very excited about that. Carrie and I kind of set the tone of all the different wines we make, and they're on board making all these. You know, it takes 70, 80 SKUs to make 30-some wines. And this is kind of the first time I said, if you guys could do anything you want, what would you do? And they have ideas making chilled reds, a new lighter style Chardonnay, you know, the 12%. And, you know, I'm middle-aged. I like, you know, I'm a Chard to have 14% alcohol.
Yeah.
but they want to have, you know, a new take on old wines, and so they're going to play around with all different types of vessels and yeast and have at it for the next 3-4 years. Whether or not it makes it to bottle, we'll see, but they have free rein to get after it, so we're excited about that. And we're going to display my bike collection, part of it, up in the barrel room. We're getting ready for 20 years next year. We celebrate
Amazing.
For Dutcher Crossing.
Wow.
And we're really excited. All the founders are coming in for this. And we're unique in a way that we still talk to the founders. Usually when you buy a business, the owners go away and aren't part of it. And part of it, the reason is because they don't necessarily agree with the choices we make. But Carrie, Jim, and Bruce have stayed with us and talked to us often. They come back and visit. And they're excited to be part of the celebration. And it's important for us because we would not be here if it wasn't for their vision. So we're going to celebrate together. So we're working hard to launch that in April. So
I love that, honoring the legacy, where it all started.
Yeah.
In 20 years. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be 18 years, but Dutch Cross in 20. Yeah. And you know, it was a vision that started in 1999 when they bought land. So, here we are, you know, almost 20 years later. We're excited and proud. So
amazing. I love the endurance of wineries in our region.
Yeah. And so how do people find you? Go to the website?
Yes, DutcherCrossingWinery.com. Get on Dry Creek and go 8.5 miles. If you hit the lake, you went too far.
And don't hit the lake.
Yeah. So, but call us, come stop by and visit, and we'd love to welcome you like we welcome my mother. So.
And I assume, because you have an Instagram handle of @DutcherCrossing, they can see a lot of photos of Ladybug.
She has her own handle.
Oh, what's Ladybug's handle?
Lady _the_wine_dog. And she's got her own social media.
Oh, my gosh. Of course she does.
Have more followers than Dutcher Crossing?
She does not, but she probably posts more often and does more stories than Dutcher Crossing. So,
That's awesome. Well, now I know what I'm going to do this afternoon is look up Ladybug and start following her on Instagram.
So will I.
Yeah, super fun.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Deborah.
Always
good to see you. And next time we'll maybe invite Ladybug in studio.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
We are back to wrap things up on today's good stuff. Carissa, yet another amazing guest.
I know.
Stories.
I'm grinning. Just the idea of Ladybug greeting everyone.
Yeah.
And what a special story of Deborah and her dad. I mean.
Touching.
Yeah.
And kudos to Kathy Sagacio. I mean, she made a huge difference in a couple people's lives. Yeah. I'm sure she did that every day that she worked, and just maybe doesn't realize the impact that you can have.
Right, which I guess is a great lesson for all of us.
It is.
To slow down and take a little time to connect.
Yeah. Welcome people. Make them feel included. All right. So included includes wine sometimes.
It does. It's helpful.
Yep.
It's helpful to
connect.
It
brings people together.
It does.
As we often talk about. So let's get together Tuesday.
I love it.
What are you thinking you're going to drink?
Well, Deborah left us a little gift that I think should not wait in honor of our Drink the Good Stuff. So why would we sell her this when we could pull the cork out and drink it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have the Dutcher Crossing, a Cut Root Vineyard. It's the Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley, and it's their 2021 vintage.
So, I like the name of that vineyard. That's interesting.
I know
what the story is on that.
I know.
Next time.
We're going to have her back.
Yep, we will.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to continue on the Dutcher Crossing theme, and I noted that they make a Sauvignon Blanc called the CFM Sauvignon Blanc. The 21 is current vintage right now. And all proceeds of the sales of this wine go to melanoma research. I am assuming CFM are the initials of her dad.
Who
passed away from melanoma. So I think that's just, I love it when wineries come up with these ideas. It's such an easy way for people to support a cause that matters to them.
Yeah. It's like I always say, drink good, do good.
Right. And you can.
And you absolutely can.
Yeah. So another lovely visit, great story. Again, like to your point earlier, a different origin story, just really sort of wanting to come to Sonoma County, wanting to buy a winery, finding one that had already started and making it her own. There are so many different paths in.
Yeah. And I love that she just said it felt like home being here. And it feels like that to me too. This is where I wanted to put my roots as well because it felt like home. So.
And 18 years later, here she is.
I know.
That's even more
you love
home.
It. I know. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today on The Good Stuff from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.